the largest, most unique, and bonding women's conference in the conservative movement is back. The Young Women's Leadership Summit, put on by Turning Point USA. It's going to be in San Antonio, Texas, this June 7th through 9th. There will be top speakers in the conservative movement, including some of your favorite guests from The Spillover, who will be headlining a female-only audience. If you're 16 to 26 years old, regardless of student status, you may apply as a student. Any adults over 26 are welcome to attend as well with an adult ticket. Last year, the entire back of the auditorium was filled with strollers. So if you're a mom, come apply to attend and get ticket details at YWLS2024.com. Use code Alex for 25% off your ticket. Now, you have until March 1st to get a 3-day student ticket for only $25 and 3-day $50 adult tickets. This is the best deal for YWLS. Plus, 25% off with code Alex on top of that. No excuses. Bring your baby, come alone, leave with friends. YWLS2024.com, code Alex, link in the description. If I were to mentally picture the fight against big food in a very literal sense in my head, I see a battlefield. Bombs are going off. There's people on both sides. And on our side, front and center, leading the charge against fast food, corrupt school nutrition guidelines, and greenwash brands that lie to consumers and trick them into thinking they're healthier, is today's guest. I don't think my imagination is too far off from reality for her either, because long before it was trendy to talk about ingredients and food system corruption, she was virtually alone. In 2011, she dared to call out Chick-fil-A for harmful ingredients in their sandwiches. The chicken giant invited her to their headquarters in person a year later to discuss. They announced they were removing all dyes, corn syrup, and TBHQ from their products. She'll tell you they still have a long way to go, but that's pretty impressive for a mom in North Carolina. Chipotle committed to removing all GMOs from their restaurants after meeting with her. She went viral for her video eating yoga mat material, accusing Subway of putting the same ingredient found in exercise gear and shoe soles in their footlongs. In 2012, she attended the Democrat National Convention. She sat front row and held a sign that said "Label GMOs" during the Secretary of Agriculture's speech. I wonder what she thinks about the right suddenly taking ownership politically in the fight against big food, and how she thinks the left has done throughout the years. She's a New York Times bestselling author who's written multiple books and cookbooks, including her latest, Food Babe Family, which includes over 100 recipes and tips on reading ingredients and making lunches and meals with kids in mind that will help them fall in love with real food. She's a living, breathing, comprehensive guide to everything from the food industry to the grocery store, and has been crowned one of the top 13 women in food. Now you know why I had to travel all the way to Charlotte in person to interview her and hear her story for myself. Did you know that you can watch this interview? Subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube and watch it on any TV or device with your whole family. I don't know if you know this, but The Spillover is produced by Turning Point USA, a 501c3 nonprofit. That means that this show is only possible with donations from listeners like you. Even a small monthly or one-time donation helps fund guest travel, equipment costs, marketing, and other show needs that help us grow to spread the message to live counterculturally, physically, spiritually, and mentally. To become a financial friend of the show and leave a tax-deductible donation, find the link in the show notes. Please pause before we get started. Leave a 5-star review. Whether you've been a fan for a week, just today, or 2 years, tell us how you found us and help potential listeners discover the show. It is the coolest honor ever to have Vanni Hari, aka the Food Babe, on The Spillover. How do you feel about the phrase "all things in moderation" that people say?
Gosh, we just go right into it, don't we, Alex?
We always do.
I hate it too. I hate it. I mean, we're going to eat poison in moderation. Like, what's the point of that, right? Your body becomes that moderation then. You know, one of the best things my daughter's pediatrician said to me when she found out that they were serving, you know, Domino's every day for pizza at her elementary school, she says that becomes her microbiome every single week. You know, 30 Fridays in a row, right? And moderation is one of those terms that gives people the okay to have a bad diet. It gives people the okay to continue on the cycle of eating ultra processed foods that in turn get them addicted to those chemicals. And so they can't get off this endless wheel, this endless rat wheel of harmful chemicals and bad health and pharmaceuticals that they get prescribed because of the bad health. And it's a term that you won't see me use.
You've put pressure on Chick-fil-A, Kraft, Subway. All of them at least agreed to make changes to some of their ingredients. Who was the first company that you convinced to adjust their ingredients and what happened?
Yeah, so the first major company was Chick-fil-A. And what happened is I wrote a piece about the 100 ingredients in a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And I remember posting a picture of the 100 ingredients on my personal Facebook page. And the comments around the room were, you know, very close friends. And one of the comments was one from my childhood best friend, Alyssa, okay? I've known her since I was 4 years old. She said, 100 ingredients of deliciousness, right? And I said, she just doesn't know what these are. So I need to break it down for her. And that's why I wrote the blog post on Food Babe. And back then, it was like my mom reading my blog, a couple best friends, maybe just a small group of people like at work probably reading it because I was like the health freak at work. And so they wanted to know what I was doing. It wasn't a big deal, right? I was just writing the information because I wanted people to know the truth. And so I broke down those 100 ingredients, talked about several of them that are very controversial, like TBHQ, which harms the immune system, can create eczema and asthma in individuals. Talked about dimethyl polysiloxane, one of the main ingredients in Silly Putty, that the FDA doesn't even regulate and allows to be preserved with formaldehyde. And when I wrote about these ingredients, and including the number one ingredient in Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, which is MSG, it's like literally right after chicken. And when I wrote about it, it went so viral that the head of Chick-fil-A and their, you know, chief execs reached out to me and invited me to their headquarters.
And so were you like, oh, what have I done now? I'm in trouble. Was it like being called to the principal's office?
No, I remember when I got the email, I got it right before I went to bed. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like I can't sleep. Like what's going on? Like they've invited me. This is crazy. This is great. This is bad. I don't know what's going to happen. Like,
so in your heart, did you know like, well, of course I'm going.
Well, yeah. 100%. And I was still, again, working in the corporate world. I was doing Food Babe just for fun. Because it was my passion, because I had healed my body eating real food, and I wanted everyone to know the truth about what I was eating and what I, the lifestyle changes I was making, but also to know the truth about all the ways that I had been duped. I mean, for so long, I thought Chick-fil-A was the healthy fast food.
This is what I was going to say. How did we get to this moment in America where the majority of moms, we have an entire nation of mothers who collectively believe that Chick-fil-A is a healthier option when it comes to fast food chains? Are they right or wrong?
They're wrong. And it's so sad because, yeah, they have good service. Yeah, they have that Southern charm. And I'll tell you, when I went to the headquarters, they rolled out the red carpet. Actually, they rolled out the cowmobile. They picked me up in a cow-covered car. Okay? And, I mean, they treated me like a queen when I went in to visit.
And so when you get there and you sit down for this meeting, what is the first thing that they say to you? So are they like, so your blog post? Or I want to know, like, how do they start the conversation? Because so, I mean, clearly they were not happy.
Well, their headquarters is like a museum, okay? And so first they take me through the whole pomp and, you know, pony show, showing the history of Chick-fil-A and how it all started. And then take me behind the scenes on how their products are made and the kitchen, the test kitchens, all of that. It was so, they show me how, you know, the chicken's dredged in the MSG and like all the things, right? And it was like, this is like the best thing ever for someone like me that like was just, this is my passion to know about how all this food's made and what I'd been eating and what had made me ultimately sick and have my appendix taken out. And so I was very interested in like what this meeting was going to do, right? And I mean, I even had lunch in their cafeteria, right? I didn't eat Chick-fil-A in their cafeteria.
Wait, they had what other did you
stuff.
Eat?
Yeah, they had the other stuff in their cafeteria. They had some like some raw salad vegetable things. And I was like, okay, that looks the cleanest. And I just, you know, ate that. Didn't eat any of the Chick-fil-A that they had it in their cafeteria. And so then we sat down in a boardroom. Okay. And the head chicken guy is in the room, the head marketing guy is in the room, the head operations guy is in the room. I mean, there's like 5 or 6, 7, 8 individuals. It was a lot. And I was at the head of the table. And they go, okay, we've reviewed your blog post. We understand there's some concerns. You actually have a lot of concerns about our food.
100 of them.
Yeah. And how would you prioritize these concerns? And so a gentleman got up and started whiteboarding, and I think I did too. And we started writing down on the whiteboard all the different concerns I had. I said, you know, your children are having these ice dreams as part of their Happy Meals. Why do they have artificial food dyes? You're serving vanilla ice cream. Why does it have yellow 5 and yellow 6 in it? This is crazy, right? I talked about the TBHQ. I talked about the MSG. But they said, out of all of these issues, what is the most concerning issue to you? And I said, well, it's the fact that you raise your chickens on antibiotics. Mm. And I told them a story about how I'd met the former general of the U.S. Army, Wesley Clark. And I asked him, what's the most pressing food issue for you? And he says, well, the antibiotic feed and the creation of, you know, all the livestock in America, like that's a really bad problem, because if we use too much routine antibiotics, it creates superbugs, which our human antibiotics can't fight off. And so we can obtain, you know, all of these diseases from the overuse of antibiotics, and it could wipe out the human race. He used those words, wipe out the human race. Okay. So he goes, that's the most pressing issue. And I looked at the list, and I'm trying to prioritize this list, right? MSG, TBHQ, artificial food dyes. And I'm like, no, it's the chicken, right? It's the chicken. And the head chicken supplier guy, I was in the room, and he's saying, it's not possible. There's just not enough supply right now. I go, you need to do what Chipotle's doing. And that is, they are transitioning traditional farms over to antibiotic free, and they're requiring them to do it, and they're incentivizing them with their business. Mm. And you have enough influence in how much chicken you buy that you could also do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I left that meeting kind of unsure of how well it would have gone, you know, this conversation and the continued effort too behind the scenes, where I was emailing back and forth with all the executives all the time.
And what year was this?
2012.
Okay.
2012. Yeah. And by 2013, they called me and they said, not only are we, and this was the end of 2012, it was October. And in 2013, by that point in time, they called me and said, hey, Vonnie, we want to let you know we're going antibiotic free and we're going to do it in 5 years. We wanted you to be the first to know. You've really inspired us. And it was just this, like, I can't believe this.
That's like, so cool.
And that meeting, you know, when I took off work, my corporate job, to go consult with Chick-fil-A. When I did that, I knew at that point in time that like my calling was more important than like this corporate finance, working for these C-level executives, putting PowerPoints together. It was more important to do this food work that I found so passionate. And I was able to like get their attention and get them to change, which, you know, for little old me, I couldn't believe that this kind of situation was happening, but this is at the rise of social media, right? Like before starting Food Babe, I had never been on social media because I thought I wanted to run for office one day. I was like, I'm just going to stay off of it so nobody gets any of my, you know, my stuff, you know? and I joined Facebook because I was like, well, I have this blog. How am I going to share it? Everyone's like, you got to join Facebook, duh. You know, and I had kind of an intervention of girlfriends. They're like, you haven't even seen her wedding pictures. They're on Facebook. Like, what's wrong with you, Vonnie? and so I went to Facebook, and that's where I shared everything. And because Facebook was so untethered by corporate giants at that point, the information spread like wildfire. I mean, it went so crazy viral. I mean, I remember blog posts seeing 10 million, 20 million views, more than people are watching news programs, you know, and getting information through, you know, really big websites like the New York Times and others, right?
Yeah.
And it was my blog receiving that kind of crazy traffic. And it was a situation where I was like, this is great. We can like really create change. And then when I quit my job is when things really got crazy.
Yeah, because you started talking to all kinds of people. So first of all, let's just to wrap Chick-fil-A. How do you think they're doing now? So it's been a little over 10 years since you talked to them.
Yeah.
The changes that they've made, the changes they haven't made.
I mean, they've done so many things. It's so funny. They call me. They're like, hey, we're coming up with the kale salad, you know, like all this stuff, right? And I feel partly responsible for that kale salad. But, you know, they removed artificial food dyes. You know, they removed TBHQ. So they're making changes. But they told me. And they told me to my face, we're not removing MSG.
Why?
Because it creates an addictive quality to their food, that taste that brings back the customer over and over and over again. MSG is fed to rats in obesity studies so that they become fat and so they can research obesity drugs and other obesity-related issues. This is something we shouldn't be feeding to humans. Right. And there's all this controversy around MSG because, you know, free glutamic acid is naturally occurring in foods like tomatoes, et cetera. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about man-made MSG being added to the food to create that irresistibility quality to food, hijack your taste buds, hijack your brain so you remember the flavor. Whenever you mentioned Chick-fil-A at the first time today, my mouth started watering. Mm. I haven't eaten it in over 15 years. It's because I remember exactly how it tastes. And that's how you remember the difference between a McDonald's hamburger and a Wendy's hamburger and a Burger King hamburger. And you remember the flavors of all of these different products like Doritos and Oreos, etc. Whereas when you think about the last time you made spaghetti, did it really taste like the last time I made spaghetti before that? I'm not sure because you're not adding any of these flavorings to it. But if you were to add a specific flavoring that's man-made chemical where they created in a laboratory with, it could be thousands of different chemicals added together. Yes, some of them may, you know, start in nature, some are artificial. But when they create those chemicals all together to hijack your brain, it's so that it takes over your senses. And this is the problem with ultra-processed foods and why I don't buy ultra-processed foods for my children and why I don't want to eat that and be part of that experiment. I want my body to know when to stop eating. I want my body to know, hey, I've had enough. I want my body to get real nutrition from food so that it lives a long time, right? And I'm here for my children.
So when you're talking about then all of these addictive qualities that they're purposely putting into the food, do you feel like obesity is truly a willpower issue or are the food companies setting these people up to fail?
The food companies are 100% responsible.
Because I think they've done a really good job culturally of telling people, oh, it's just lazy, lazy people, slobs who, you know, are obese and struggle with losing weight. But really, they're the ones responsible.
Absolutely.
If somebody is traveling through like the world's smallest town in America, okay, and the only thing they can eat is fast food, what would be the slightly better choice out of all the fast food restaurants? Like if you had to choose, what would you choose?
I'd choose Chipotle.
Okay.
Yeah, I would choose Chipotle. You know, Chipotle back again in 2012, when I called them out initially in 2011 too, they had this tagline, food with integrity, but they wouldn't tell you what was in their food. Like you'd call the corporate headquarters, hey, what's in a burrito? What's in your tortilla? What are in your chips? What are you frying it in? They wouldn't tell you. They literally wouldn't tell you the ingredients. Like, are you kidding me? Like, what are you talking about? You won't tell me. Taco Bell publishes it on their website. Why wouldn't you Chipotle food with integrity, right? So I called them out and I eventually marched myself down to different Chipotle locations and eventually got a manager who I just sweet talked to show me the back of the packages, and I took pictures of the ingredients, and I exposed that they were largely serving genetically engineered food. And someone started a petition on my behalf. We eventually got Chipotle's response and attention, and the head of marketing there, Chris Arnold at the time, he calls me and he's like, "Vonnie, settle down." Because I had met him a couple times before, so it was funny because he's like, "Settle down." And I was like, "Well, why aren't you releasing your ingredients? Like, you can't have this tagline and we can't know what we're eating."
Right.
Right. So he said, "Hey, we are going to release the ingredients, but I want to let you know we're also going to remove all GMOs." I was like, "What?"
And were you just elated?
I was like, "Are you serious?" Like, it was insane.
But see, if Chipotle is able to remove all GMOs basically from their restaurants, except I think they're, what, tortillas and tortilla chips are the only things?
No, they still, that those are GMO free. The okay. only thing that has GMOs is the freaking Coca-Cola they still serve.
Okay, okay. So if Chipotle is a fast food restaurant who is able to go GMO free, is there really an excuse for any fast food restaurant or restaurant in America to not go GMO free?
I mean, it's just all related to money. It's cheaper to use genetically engineered soybean oil to cook all your food in than it is to do it in what they're using. I think they're using a combination of rice bran, sunflower, etc. So
Subway acquiesced. They took their yoga mat material out of their bread. But I looked on their website recently. I mean, everything to me still looks atrocious at Subway. I'm just going to say. I'm going to say it looks atrocious. So would you trust Subway food with your kids?
Oh, absolutely not. No way. I mean, it's still so processed, right?
Because, you know, they're doing this whole rebrand, this Eat Fresh or what is it? Fresh Refresh campaign or whatever. So they're trying to, they know that the stereotype or the image that American consumers have of them is that it's gross, that it's not real food. And they're trying to say that it is fresh now when it wasn't before, even though their slogan was Eat Fresh. So anyway, I mean, are they, do they still have a long way to go in your opinion?
Well, I mean, they've come a long way. So let's just start with, you know, the campaign to remove the yoga mat chemical azodicarbonamide, which was, again, a totally insane thing. Again, the power of social media propelled that campaign. I started a petition because I was watching. Okay, so I had been on Subway's case for over a year about the chemicals in their bread because I was watching my coworker, Wes, slug a, you know, 12-inch on his desk every single day at work. And I was like, "Do you know what's in there? Like, let me tell you what's in there. Like, stop doing that. There's like five other sandwich places that are so much better." And I just cared about him. Like every single, I'd say, campaign or anything I've ever waged has started with something very personal like that, where it's someone I love eating this food. And I decided to write about it. And I even like film myself eating yoga mat just to get the rise out of people and get people's attention. Like, this isn't food, right?
Yeah, it's genius.
This is not eating fresh. And it, the straw broke the camel's back when I saw Michelle Obama as part of the Let's Move campaign go on national television and partner with Subway.
This, okay, the entire Let's Move campaign by Michelle Obama is so juicy to me because what initially started out as something that was designed to hold the food companies accountable, she later pivots to all being all about exercise. And then, yeah, partnering with people like Subway. So you've got to tell us the whole story. Like, do a sidebar and do the whole story on that because she was under pressure from the food companies to back up, right, and back off them.
Yeah, and I think her intentions when she got into the White House were true.
Yes.
I mean, there were – she really did want to make changes, but her hands were tied.
It was, it wasn't politically expedient.
No, and it also wasn't politically possible to do anything, which was really sad. And so she had to pivot. She had to do something, right? And so when she's making this, you know, collaboration with Subway on national television, I was like, she doesn't even know the truth about Subway. I got to tell her, right? I got to start a campaign.
Did you get to her?
You know, I'm sure she heard about it because I've met her several times, and she actually is the one that convinced me not to go to law school, believe it or not, which is crazy. Long story. I think she heard about it because I was a very active, we can talk about, this is getting into politics now. Of course, it's a very political podcast, but anyways, I was a very active political person for a long time in my life. I'm not anymore because I guess you could say I'm jaded. But
I completely relate. I completely relate,
right?
being in this space.
Right?
I mean,
like, I just want to puke on all of the politics, right? Like, I'm not on neither side now. I was 100% on one side at one point in time in my life, right? Now I'm on neither. And I just look at every issue for what it's worth. But so I campaigned for her husband. You know, I've met him, I don't know, 10 times. All of the things, right? So I'm sure she heard about the campaign because it was worldwide news. I mean, within 24 hours of that petition, it was like 50,000 signatures. It was insane. It was on the front page of every national newspaper. Good Morning America, The Today Show, CNN, every place had me on talking about it.
How long did it take Subway to reach out to you?
They didn't reach out to me. A Food Babe Army reader worked at Subway as a franchisee owner and got a letter from the CEO that they were going to remove it and leaked it to me. And then I leaked it to the press. So that's how that information got out that they, you know, were acquiescing to the demand. But the best thing that happened from that campaign was not only did they remove azo dicarbonamide, the widespread awareness of that chemical, which, by the way, if anyone's listening, how terrible this chemical is. I mean, you literally get fined and put in prison if you use it in Singapore because just having it in the air causes asthmatic problems for workers. Mm. It's very hazardous. And then when it's heated, it turns into semi-carbazide, which is linked to cancer in animal studies. So that's terrible. So this is definitely not something you want to be eating. And if people are like, well, why do they put this in bread? Well, if you look at a yoga mat sideways, you kind of like see these evenly dispersed air bubbles or in rubber, right? Well, it does the same thing in bread. And they wanted their bread to look uniform. I mean, think about it. Anytime you stopped at a Subway, it was the exact same bread. Even though they were breaking it fresh right there, right? It was the exact same bread. And so that campaign forced almost every bread manufacturer in America, I would say 99%, to remove that chemical.
Was that chemical even being served in grocery stores and sliced breads?
Oh, yes. It was in Nature's Own. It was in all these big, big brands. It was all Bimbo bakeries, all of their breads, which they have like majority of the bread on grocery store shelves. Yeah, it was insane. And so that's where the rise of Dave's Killer Bread happened, because everyone's looking for an alternative. And that's how that company just shot up and took over. But Subway, after that point, not only did they do that, but they started to remove artificial colors, artificial flavors from all of their products. Then they went antibiotic free too.
Yeah, but don't their peppers or something have food dyes, yellow food dyes still?
I'm not sure, because they said they were going to remove it by a certain point.
Okay.
So maybe it's coming and it just hasn't yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, they've made strides, like these big announcements. But when you look back at the food, it's still genetically engineered, right? Ingredients, a lot of processed ingredients. One of the main ingredients that people are getting hoodwinked on right now is monodiglycerides.
I see this everywhere.
Right. You see it everywhere.
What is it?
It's because trans fats are banned now.
Yeah. Okay. So explain the relationship between these two things.
Yeah. Yeah. So trans fats were implicated in, you know, 7,000 deaths and 20,000 heart attacks per year in America, okay? And it took suing the FDA to finally get trans fats removed from our diet.
That's why we always see 0% trans fat.
That's right.
They're trying to tell you there's none of that in here.
Right. And under a certain threshold, under 0.5, you can still have trans fat in your product, but you don't have to label it, okay? Well, one of the chemicals that they created as a result of this removal of trans fats, because all of these, I mean, trans fat was in every ultra-processed food. It was the thing that preserved the food on the shelf.
This is what like makes me so angry, is that every time we get a win and they agree, almost always they'll agree to take something out, then what the consumer doesn't realize is that then they're putting in another chemical that's just as bad, like what you're describing every time. That's why you just cannot trust processed food at all. But
so basically, you know, during this whole process, and this is very new, this isn't within the last 10 years, right? They were looking for an alternative of what they could put into their products that creates that same feel in terms of when a product sits on the shelf for a long time and someone opens that package, that it's not separating and the oil isn't like coming out the sides and leaking down the package, right? So they're looking for a product like that and a chemical. And monodiglycerides is largely, along with other chemicals, has largely replaced trans fats, although it still contains trans fats in minute amounts, right? And so it still is in there. And if you're eating a piece of bread with monodiglycerides, or you go to one of these fast food chains and you eat something with monodiglycerides, and you eat another product with monodiglycerides, or you eat an apple that's sprayed with a peel, it's monodiglycerides. How much monodiglycerides are you eating? And are you now getting 1, 2, 3 grams of trans fats? I don't know.
And what should terrify people about monodiglycerides?
Well, I mean, the fact that it has trans fats in it, and, you know, safety data is non-existent.
Why are trans fats bad for the human body?
I mean, they literally cause your body to be clogged, like your arteries to be clogged. It's the worst form of fat that your body can intake, period. It's the man-made version of fat that your body doesn't even know how to process. Literally, it stays in your body.
Because we were told that like normal, regular fat was bad, this evil thing, when it actually isn't. And so they tried to make up other things in place of it. Is that how we got there?
Yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely. I mean, the invention of margarine and all of that.
So right,
and vegetable oils. Yes, it is very tiring.
Just see what God made.
Right.
It doesn't have to be this hard. Like, that's what everybody says. This is so complicated. I give up. It's too hard. I'm like, no, it actually isn't. Just stop eating things that aren't real.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
I had to do a lot of traveling this week, which meant having to give up a lot of control on my diet and normal crunchy way of doing things. That's just how it is when you're away from home. But thanks to Olivia's travel size organic prebiotic body wash, I was able to bring a body wash with me that I trust without adding tons of extra weight to my bag. So at least one minor thing I can control. What makes a body wash so special that I refuse to use regular hotel soap? Olivia Organic Prebiotic Body Wash feeds your skin's microbiome by diminishing harmful bacteria and creating a balanced pH. This healthy enzymatic activity stimulated at the cellular level aids in skin restoration, accelerates recovering in problematic skin, and repairs skin from blemishes, scars, and wounds. Prebiotics naturally produce hyaluronic acid, improve the skin's moisture content, and strengthen the skin's protective barrier, which aids in slowing down the aging process. And the power of prebiotics unlocks radiant and healthy skin. For years, I struggled with uncomfortably dry skin. Now I know likely from my autoimmune disorder. And the only time I ever found any improvement or relief was when I switched to Olivia Prebiotic Body Wash. With less than 10 real ingredients from land and sea in every bottle that you trust, this body wash is gentle enough for everyone, including babies. Use it as a face wash if you're dry, or even a shampoo. Try Olivia Organic Prebiotic Body Wash at Olivia.com with code ALEX15 for 15% off. That's Olivia.com with code ALEX15 for 15% off. Find all of this in the show notes below. Which fast food ranks dead last for you? Like, it is a death factory.
Oh, gosh. I mean, they're all... It's like, you know, I'm looking at the list and they're all there in the dungeon, right? In hell, in purgatory, right? Like, they're just, there's not many that, I mean, it's the worst one. I mean, Dunkin' Donuts is really bad.
Why is Dunkin' Donuts bad?
Oh, I mean, just look at some of their drinks. I mean, some of their drinks have like close to 100 grams of sugar in them. Insane amounts of chemicals in them, caramel coloring. Oh, it's terrible. It's caramel coloring is linked to cancer. It's actually a coloring that's made with burning ammonia. And a lot of people don't, you know, you think about like how you make caramel at home, like butter and sugar, you know, it's not like that. It's really bad for you. And it causes cancer in a way that, like, you know, the Coca-Cola and the Pepsis of the world have tried to squash this debate about caramel color level 4. And so it's one of those things that food manufacturers are just getting away with and putting in their products. And this is actually the chemical that I campaigned to get out of Starbucks pumpkin spice lattes.
I was going to ask you about this because you decide to call out Starbucks. So you're doing all this, you're making headway. But when you called out Starbucks, it was like you became public enemy number one. Why do you think that Starbucks was like the last straw for big food with you?
Coca-Cola and Pepsi, probably. I mean, they have the most lobby money out of anybody in terms of influencing the media.
Do you think that they're running big food like the mob?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, they pay Harvard scientists to take the onus off food and sugar and soda problems in young kids and put it on the fact that they don't move enough, right? I mean, if you read my book, Feeding You Lies, I go into depth how evil these corporations are in terms of what they're willing to do.
Yeah. I want you to go in depth on that actually specifically because it made me start crying. So with Starbucks, what was their reaction when you called them out for the pumpkin spice latte? And why was it that was such a big deal? Is that just because that's like America's favorite drink?
Well, you know, I had done an investigation and I called my all of my pieces on my blog investigations because that's what they were. They were literally...
You're a journalist. You're an investigative journalist on food.
Right. And but some people would call me just a blogger or just this activist or whatever, right? But I call them all investigations because I was showcasing information that had never been put on the internet before, had never been talked about in the media before. And my first investigation into Starbucks was about the fact that you could see what was in a piece of pound cake, but you couldn't see what was actually in their Starbucks drinks. And the lack of transparency into the ingredients was alarming and I think unethical because all of their competitors, like Dunkin' Donuts, posted their ingredients online for everybody to see. And so people are paying extra to go to this, you know, more influential chain, Starbucks, right? And they don't even know what they're drinking. And that really bothered me. And so I wrote about that and Starbucks reached out and they invited me to their headquarters. And I was like, this is amazing. This is so cool. I'm going to be going to Seattle. Like, this is going to be great. We're going to get things to change.
It was going to be like a rollout, like what Chick-fil-A did.
Yeah. I was like, this is so great. I'm going to meet Howard. This is going to be awesome. Howard was still running at the time. And so, so then Subway happened where that petition happened, and then they saw the crazy media blitz of that, and they just emailed me and were like, sorry, we can't have you at the office.
They bailed out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have the whole email chain. And I was like, what? Did they just disinvite me? Like, are you kidding me? You don't disinvite the food, babe. Like, are you serious? Oh, man, did that light something under me. I was just like...
So no, now you're like, no, now I'm really going to dive deeper into what you're hiding.
Yeah, yeah. And so I did my old move that I did at Chipotle, and I walked down to different Starbucks and eventually got a barista to show me the different concoctions they were making to make a pumpkin spice latte. And it was just coming out like in August of that year. And I released the blog post, What's Really in a Pumpkin Spice Latte? And it went ridiculous viral because, I mean, it's the most popular drink at Starbucks, the most popular drink period in that time period, right? And it went so viral that Fox News Morning, like all the morning shows, all of them had me on. There was news reports, all kinds of stuff happening. And Starbucks was like, oh, damn it. And so they immediately made the announcement that they're removing caramel coloring and they're posting their ingredients.
Did they do any of that with talking to you and letting you know or nothing? They didn't talk
to you? No. They told a reporter, right? So here's kind of how I believe I was able to make a lot of this change. I can't do this today, by the way, okay? Maybe, but I haven't tried lately, but this is how kind of, let me give you the behind the scenes of how things work. When I started these campaigns and they would go viral and they would have like, you know, a million people contacting them in their customer service. So they would have like this backlog of customer service, like, you know, mayhem. And then they would have people calling the headquarters. And I mean, this is what activists do, right? They just like torture a company to make the change, right? But then when the media gets involved and the influx of social media and the media and all of the bad press, they have to do whatever they can to squash the news as fast as possible because they can't lose money.
Right.
They're literally all about money. And so if you can get in the media with some of this information, a lot of times company has no choice but to make the change or they're just going to lose money big time. I mean, Kraft, when they decided not to remove artificial food dyes from mac and cheese, it took them how many months? Started the campaign in like February, I think. They made the announcement in December. So it took them 10 months to do it, okay, to finally make the announcement. If they had done that sooner, they would have had so many more customers. But instead, their competitors, Annie's, shot up right. in value,
yeah.
got sold for $800 million to General Mills. And it was like this windfall for them, right? They're like, wow, we have all these new customers because we don't use artificial dyes in our mac and cheese. So all of these moms were ready to go buy Annie's, right? And nobody was buying Kraft anymore. And they saw that and they're like, oh crap, we're losing market share. We have to do something. And they made a bad choice. They waited too long. But I think there's case studies that show how much money you can lose unless you start to make these changes, and it actually helps you keep your customers. And of course, it's always a good thing to make these changes because it's on the right side of history. It's on the right side of human health.
Do you think that now compared to other times in America, like people are more ready to listen about this stuff than ever, or still it's really hard to get through to people on this?
There's been a dip. I feel like there's been a dip in the excitement about eating real food and organic. And I think, you know, we've had that rise, which has been great. And I think a lot of people are becoming complacent again. I don't see the energy.
Do you think the complacency is kind of right on par with inflation also? People feel like I can barely afford groceries as it is, so this has to now go on the back burner, how much I care about what groceries I'm buying.
It could be. It could be related to the economy, yeah.
What is the scariest thing that has happened to you in your fight against big food?
So let me just tell you a story about when I had just gotten Starbucks to remove caramel coloring. Then my new book comes out, Food Babe Way, my first book. I have four books. And that comes out in 2015. And it hits the New York Times bestseller list, stays there for months. Time Magazine names me one of the most influential people on the internet, like next to like crazy people like Kim Kardashian and, you know, and Jimmy Fallon. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is crazy, right? Big food is livid. I mean, absolutely going insane in the amount of positive press that I'm getting, okay? A New York Times piece comes out, and I knew it was going to be somewhat of a hit piece because of the type of interview I had. And I tell the whole story about that actually in the opening chapter of Feeding You Lies. And she asked me during that interview, she's like, you know, the entire scientific community is against you, Vani. And I'm like, the entire? I was like, absolutely not. I was like, you know, I have amazing medical doctors who back up what I'm saying, have looked at it from an individual and independent point of view and agree with each one of my campaigns. you know, I have an advisory board made up of experts, food scientists, doctors, nutritionists, dietitians that all agree with me. What are you talking about? Right. And she's like, well, all of these professors say that, you know, you're a quack, you're pseudoscientific, you don't know anything about science. And I said, have you looked at their ties to the food industry? And this New York Times reporter did not look into the ties, because that piece comes out and it's largely critical of my work. I mean, it has some accolades and things and some nice things in it. Had a nice picture of me, whatever. You know, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
And so she interviews these four individuals, okay, that are like, if you just did a Google search, right, you could figure out that they were tied to the food industry. For example, Fergus Clydesdale. Okay, I'll never forget his name. Dr. Fergus Clydesdale works for Sensient Technologies. What is that company? Oh, it makes caramel color level 4.
Stop.
Yes. Does she reveal that in the article and disclose that?
No.
Right? And so they literally are using these paid for scientists as a way to discredit my work, so that people become confused and are like, oh, she might be fear mongering. She might not know what she's talking about. I'll just keep eating my Doritos and going to Taco Bell. I felt like I was under attack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, talk about like literally every time I was asked to be on TV, like for example, CNN would call me all the time to comment on different things, Fox News, everyone. They would all call and say, Vonnie, can you comment on this food issue? Sure, no problem. Would love to talk about this. At a point in time, Big Food had had enough of even that, that they literally put the squash on me having any airtime whatsoever, because I would let it all go. You know, I wouldn't hold back. I mean, the dairy industry called my local TV news station, was like, yeah, we don't want her to come back and do recipe segments. She uses too much almond milk.
Were there ever times where you were driving in wondering things like, am I being followed?
Yeah. So during this time, not only was this happening in the press and the media where like they were trying to take down my credibility, but every time I went online, I like received death threats, rape threats, all kinds of really crazy trolls. There was an entire organization led by Monsanto that was called Banned by Food Babe. It might still be there in Facebook. It was a group. And Monsanto had this program, who's now owned by Bayer, by the way, had this program that said, leave no comment left behind. And because I was so adamant about telling people the dangers of genetically engineered ingredients, and at that time, there was a huge campaign to get GMOs labeled in this country. They hadn't been labeled yet.
Like how we have things that say non-GMO, that wasn't there.
That wasn't there, okay? And I was campaigning for the transparency in food, and Monsanto did not like that because they wanted to hide the fact that we have, you know, that there's genetically engineered foods and all these ultra-processed foods. They wanted to hide that from the American public. And so they did whatever they could to take down activists like myself that were helping get a lot of this legislation passed. And so having this program, they've since shut it down. But literally anytime I would show up on Google anywhere and there was a point in time where there could be a comment, there would be like 10 negative comments. She's a quack. It would be like the same talking points,
yeah.
Right? She's a quack. She's pseudoscientific. She doesn't know science. I'm a scientist. She's dumb. You know, like all this stuff, right? And then, I mean, I had a drive-by, like several drive-bys by my house, like people driving by, like scaring the crap out of me, right? To the point where I'm calling the police. And or my friends that are police, because I'm like, hey, just come over here, you know. And then I think the part where it was the most scary is when individuals started showing up at my live talks, Like, for example, I would speak at like Blog Her, a big blogging conference, and in the audience was Monsanto and their operatives.
Like, were they just like standing there in black suits or what?
No, they
blend in.
They blend in. Yeah. And thankfully,
would they say something?
No.
They would stand there to look at you and intimidate you?
They would tape record me. Right. They would tape record me and use the information, you know, I don't know how. But luckily, because so many people were, you know, protective of me, would give me the heads up about a lot of this stuff. They're like, hey, heads up, Monsanto's there, you know. And, you know, when I went to go speak at the University of Florida, Kevin Folta, who later on got outed for taking money from Monsanto and not disclosing it on the front of the New York Times, which was a fantastic article. It was through a Freedom of Information Request Act that this amazing nonprofit called U.S. Right to Know performed. And they revealed that he was getting all of these funds to be like Monsanto's spokesperson out there. And he was one of the perpetrators that always showed up in the articles about me, too, and was in that New York Times article about me as well, which, again, you know, this reporter, did she do any digging to find out if these people were actually tied to the food and chemical industry? No. And so I went to go speak at University of Florida, and he tried to stop the talk. You know, he did whatever he could to try to stop the talk. And when I flew there that day and the next morning, I mean, this was all happening while I was just flying there and getting ready for the talk. I remember the person who invited me was like, hey, just, I don't think we should have Q&A today because there's a lot of controversy going on about you being here. And I think it could get really heated. And she told me not to do Q&A. And I was like, and at the time, I'm so like wet behind the ears to being an activist, to flying all over and speaking, to having this media attention on me. I mean, it was just a lot to take in. And I just agreed with her. I was like, okay, all right, that sounds good. And this guy ends up writing this piece about my talk.
Which, oh, please don't say that he said you were hiding or refused to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the worst.
Yes, yes, yes. And not only that, that I was whisked away in a limo. And I was like,
you were like, no, it was a cow car.
Exactly. It was actually like a Toyota Camry. But anyways, you know, it was just a normal Uber. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it was just so completely like all lies. Like, you could just tell he's like the biggest shill, right? Like, you can't even believe this guy's lying through his teeth. Professor for the university. Like, he has students. Like, ugh.
So here's what I think is kind of interesting. And anytime I share stuff about yours on social media, most of my audience is on board with you and I. But occasionally I'll get a couple people pushing back about you and they'll send me some account. It's like, food scientist babe or something, you know.
Oh yeah, all the people who are spinoffs of food babe. Yes.
Right. And but it's always like, I'm a food scientist. And so my question, it doesn't even have to be about her specifically, but just in general, the people that are like, well, I'm a food scientist and, you know, Vani is fear-mongering. This stuff is just ridiculous. You don't need to worry about seed oils or any of these ingredients. What is your response?
So one of the things I always look at is like, who's funding these people? And then what is the overall advice that they're giving to people? And usually I can tell within a few minutes of visiting their Instagram page or their website that they have other interests involved, right? They want to see people eating more ultra processed foods.
Yes.
Right? Or they want people to take a certain pharmaceutical. I mean, we've got right now a situation that's happening currently with Ozempic, right? Where one of the people in the Dietary Standards Guideline Committee is getting paid from Novo Nordisk, who makes Ozempic and all those GLP-1.
I think it's multiple people on the Guidelines Committee. I think it's like over 25% of the committee is funded by Ozempic.
Which is insanity, right? And we're trying to get like real information out to people. It's like it's virtually impossible when you are literally being inundated with people who are being funded by these giant corporations. And I always think, you know, back then I would spend a lot of time fighting these people, but now I don't fight them at all. I play that Big Sean song. I don't give a f- and I dance around my room. And it, because I know I'm on the right side of history, right? I know where I came from. I mean, I was a zombie-like creature going through life on 9 prescription drugs, overweight, feeling awful about myself for most of my life. And I see the power of what real food can do. It literally got me off every single prescription drug. I realized a level of health that I never thought was possible. My brain became so clear that I was able to change the food industry. I would have never been able to be an activist and do the work that I did had I still been hooked on processed food and drugs. And so I truly believe when you eat healthy, real food, you become the person God meant you to be in this life. And you actually are able to do your calling and able to give back to society in a meaningful way that when you die, you're like, okay, I did what I needed to do on this earth. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's possible when our brain is being hijacked by all of these chemicals out there.
Well, I think they bet on that. They bet on us being sick and unable to think straight because of the food, because of then all the pharmaceuticals that we're on, so that we're more easily controlled.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
You found something in Domino's Pizza that scared you stiff, so much so that you convinced your daughter's school to stop serving Domino's for their pizza parties. What are kids really eating at these pizza parties across America?
So Domino's has this program where they solicit schools across the country to serve their pizzas every day, some schools, some days, just every Friday. And they have huge marketing incentives to schools. Like, for example, they give out gift cards to teachers. They will give people free swag. They will incentivize schools in terms of school supplies and other things to get people to serve their pizza. And so there is a monetary situation and arrangement that's happening with the schools. And, you know, Domino's, what they did was they made their regular cheese pizza slightly healthier by adding whole grains into them. So it's still like half, I think, white flour and half whole grain flour versus the one you'd buy like at the chain. And so, and they've modified some of the ingredients. And so the ingredient profile isn't exactly like you would find on the website. It's a little bit different. But again, they're using genetically engineered soybean oil that is produced with heavy doses of Roundup being sprayed on these crops. And now Roundup is shown to cause cancer in so many different court cases across America. Plaintiffs are being awarded billions of dollars showing that that this causes cancer. And it's not something that I want to participate in every single Friday with my kids.
So what'd you do? Send your kid to school with a letter saying, you know, not only is she not allowed to eat this, but also I want you guys to stop serving this in general, or what?
So what I initially did was I knew that this was happening, and my daughter was 3 at the time, and she was getting picked up at noon, and so she wouldn't stay for lunch. And so what didn't really become an issue until she started staying for lunch. And so that school year, I decided that I would make my opinion known at the first school board meeting during the year, which was a week before school started. And so somebody, you know, at the end of the school meeting mentioned, hey, can we bring back Pizza Fridays? Because, like, you know, making a lunch every single day is a lot of work for a parent. I mean, it's every single day you're thinking about what you're going to put in that lunch, and you got to make it, and you got to send them to school. And it's just, it's that one day where you're like, okay, I can turn off the switch.
Yeah,
they're
going to
have, this, and it's great. And so parents are in favor of this Pizza Friday. And I just said, hey, can we change the type of pizza that we get? And at first, there was a lot of reluctance by the headmaster. She goes, well, we tried that one, so the kids didn't really like it. And we'll see, you know. And so I said, okay, all right, I got this. And, you know, I followed up that meeting with all my research about Domino's and why the chemicals were concerning to me. I gave some alternative choices that were in similar price, right? Because it basically came down to price. They didn't want to charge parents more than a dollar a slice. And so I said, hey, you know, what if I can get the local organic pizza chain to match Domino's? Let's see what happens, right? So I call up Julie, who owns Pure Pizza in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I said, hey, guess what they're doing at my daughter's school? She goes, what? They serve Domino's every Friday. She's like, oh, yuck. Because obviously she gets it. She runs an organic pizza chain, right? And I said, I know, yuck. And I go, I got to change this. And she goes, well, how much do they, you know, pay per pie? And she goes, I got it. I'll match it. And I was like, what? Are you serious? She's like, yeah, I'll match it. So I said, okay, this is great. So I write the headmaster back. I tell her that they're going to match it. All the things. And to my surprise, she wrote back pretty fast and said, hey, Bonnie, this sounds good. We'll move forward. So we had it for a year. And every Friday, organic pizza delivery at the school. And it was amazing. Now I'm writing about this story in my book, right? Food Babe Family, that just came out in late 2023. And I'm writing about this story because I'm really hoping to inspire other parents to make changes at their schools, because you can make a change if you just make it a priority. And you don't have to be the food babe and a food activist. You can do research. And that's the beauty thing about eating real food and learning about nutrition. You don't need to be a nutritionist or a scientist to know this information. You literally can learn it all by yourself. You literally, everything is available at your fingertips. You can become the expert at your own health. I really believe that. And so I'm writing about this. I submit my final draft. It goes to print. My book is coming out in 1 month. School starts, you know, that month. About a week in, I send a letter to the headmaster and to the organic pizza chain. Hey, guys, so excited for Pizza Friday to start again. Hope we'll keep Pure Pizza in. You know, just crossing all my T's, dotting all my I's, ensuring this continues, right? Something went backwards. And I don't know what went backwards, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But the headmaster, about 3 weeks before my book came out, stops me in Carline and goes, hey, Vonnie, I just want to let you know we're moving back to Domino's.
Why? Domino's got a hold of him.
That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, I think of all the conspiracies, right, that could have happened.
How? Like, because it has to be. Because if the organic pizza place was saying, I will match exact price, there is no reason. It wasn't costing more. There's no reason they would do that unless they were being, you know, Domino's said, and we'll give you $50,000 a year towards tablets or whatever. Who knows? I mean, it has to be something like that, right?
I mean, I don't know. And I have no proof of that. But what I did find out was that there were some scheduling challenges that they had to work out with the pizza chain, because there was like a couple big orders that were going to make the pizza a little late, and they're worried about getting it late to the kids. But I said, hey, this is something you get on the phone with the owner and y'all work it out. And I called her. We worked it out. I reached back out to the headmaster. I said, hey, I worked it all out for you. Let's just continue this. There's no reason to move to Domino's. And she's like, I'm sorry, Bonnie, we've already made our decision. And it was just so abrupt and without any regard of discussion that it threw me in a spiral. I mean, I literally, it just like, it's the only thing I could think about for like 2 weeks.
And she refuses to give you any more information on why they made that decision?
Well, about a week later, the headmaster puts in a resignation for retiring, right? So there's another person that is going to take over, and it could be her decision, right? I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened. It's still an ongoing discussion because I'm not just going to like let it go, right?
Did you know that over 5 billion pounds of meat are imported and sold in the U.S. every year? That's why you need Good Ranchers. They are the number one source for 100% American meat that I trust. Instead of getting overpriced imported meat at the store, Good Ranchers delivers the meat I eat every day right to my apartment, baby. Not only is all their meat all locally sourced, but it's also all hormone-free and zero antibiotics. You need to switch from the grocery store to Good Ranchers. Right now, subscribe to any of their 100% American meat boxes to secure their leap year offer of free bacon for 4 years. That is over 70 pounds of Applewood smoked bacon that you'll get just by subscribing. Wake up and smell the savings. Go to goodranchers.com and use code Clark. Their beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood is all amazing. And remember, all 100% American, which your grocery store cannot say. Go to goodranchers.com, pick your box, use my code Clark, and get meat you can trust from a company that shares your values. Good Ranchers are amazing sponsors of The Spillover, and by shopping their delicious meat products, you'll be supporting everything that we do here. Stock your fridge with easy-to-prepare, delicious American meat right now at goodranchers.com, code Clark. Not sure which box to choose? Try their bestseller, the Ranchers Classic. Or if you've got a real hungry household or really just big family, check out their Family Feast Bundle. But if you really want my personal favorite, try the Wild-Caught Seafood Box. It makes a splash. Get quality local food that you can trust and feel proud to feed your family. Go to goodranchers.com. Use code Clark to claim over $900 in free bacon before their leap year sale ends. Everything is in the description below. Good Ranchers. American meat delivered.
And what I really appreciated about Food Babe Family, your new book, is that you were very honest and you were like, I know how difficult it is, a battle every day having a child in America, every birthday party you go to, every, you know, cafeteria school lunch that they are served. You never rest. Your kids are always going to be asked, hey, like, you know, do you want this piece of cake? Do you want this? And like, you're going to feel like, well, is my kid going to fit in? And so you kind of go through those tips on what to do for child's birthdays, for example. And I think that that gives a little bit of a peace of mind to parents who feel overwhelmed and like, I can't do this, if they didn't start this way from scratch. Like if they have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old and this is the first time they're changing their family's diet, that is a huge culture shift to ask your kids to go through. So what's your advice for parents who are wanting to make that transition? But it's like, how is your kid going to be the odd one out now saying, I won't eat this?
Well, I have to tell you that the most beautiful thing of this whole story, the lesson that it taught me, is that I'm teaching Harley that standing out and going against the grain and being unconventional is the right thing to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of a more important lesson to teach a child when it comes to dealing with peers. Because right now we're dealing with so many kids being influenced by other things that they see, whether on social media or friends getting into drugs or alcohol or, you know, all of these things that could potentially ruin their lives. And if you teach them at a very young age that it's okay to be different, that can set them up with so much success, I believe. And so even though I felt defeated inside that this change happened, I know that this is the bigger lesson that's more important for my kids. And when it comes to guiding other parents, I want them to realize that they're in control. Their kids don't have the money. The kids don't buy the groceries. The kids don't carry the grocery. I mean, some of them do, I guess, if they're old enough, carry them in and put them away and do all the things and go into the pantry. We are in control of what we bring into our house. We are in control of teaching our kids, hey, when we're at a birthday party and there's artificial food dyes all over the cake, to enjoy the cake, one option is to wipe it all off. Or, hey, we can have a healthier treat at home later, right? We're in charge of influencing them and creating those boundaries. And I would say boundaries are the things that a parent does. Like I always think of like Dr. Becky from Good Inside. She always like teaches like this, like people think that like if you tell your kid like get off the counter, get off the counter, get off the counter, like trying to give them a boundary. That's never going to work. The boundary is, I'm going to take you off the counter unless you get, you know, I'm going to give you a chance to get off the counter. If you don't get off the counter, I will take you off the counter. It's what the parent does that's the boundary. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to food and nutrition, it's what we do that creates the boundary. What we put in our fridges, what we put in our pantries, how we eat, our eating habits and eating lifestyle. Are we sitting on the couch watching the football game, eating all the chips? That's what they're going to be doing too then.
Yeah. Tell me the whole story. What are the similarities between Coke and the tobacco industry?
So the tobacco industry largely got popular because they were able to pay doctors, scientists, others to say like smoking was healthy, right? That there was nothing wrong with it. That even smoking while pregnant was fine. You look at some of the advertisements that we have access to that were published back then, they're horrendous in terms of what was done. Also, the tobacco industry used a lot of science to create addiction to their products. So everything from the way Coca-Cola has hired and paid scientists, medical professionals, groups that seem very reputable, like the American Heart Association, or other organizations that are doing good in this world. Like, I just think of like the NAACP.
So you write in Feeding You Lies that Big Soda was able to tell people that they weren't allowed to talk about the dangers of soft drinks because somehow it was racist and they got the NAACP involved?
Yes, yes, they did.
I don't even understand this.
Yes.
I was ripping through the pages of your book reading so fast. I couldn't even believe what I was reading.
Yeah, and this is what they do. They create confusion in the marketplace on what's truly making us unhealthy so that all of us are confused. And so because we're so confused, we just keep eating the products. Mm-hmm. And a great example of this is when candy manufacturers actually paid for a study. And the study's outcome was that candy actually makes kids thinner. Okay. Somehow they made this outcome, right? And then when you looked behind the scenes in terms of who's paid for the study, it was candy manufacturers like Mars, etc. And when those type of headlines hit all the different news airs, and moms see that, at first glance, you're like, oh, yeah, right. You know, any smart person be like, yeah, right. Okay, whatever, right? But that lives on in their memory. So fast forward to the grocery store where you're at checkout and your child's right there and there's Snicker bars and M&Ms and everything at their eye level. And they go for a pack and they go, Mom, please, 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 please. The mom is like, fine. Because it creates this innocuous feeling in the brain that like, okay, it's not so bad. And this is what they do. They manufacture doubt in your brain to say, oh, it's not so bad. I can let them eat it this time. And I even fall prey to that, right?
What were they telling the NAACP?
So, well, good question. I would have loved to know exactly what was going on behind the scenes. But they fund these organizations in terms of their funding. So like, you know, I'm thinking about my friend, Dr. Mark Hyman. Dr. Mark Hyman was...
That is one of my most favorite podcasts.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, you should have him on the show. He would love to come, I'm sure. But so Dr. Mark Hyman, I remember he had a meeting down with the NAACP And he wanted to show his the movie that he was in, Fed Up. And I remember they wouldn't show the film because they get so much funding by Coke. So everybody's like in the pockets of the big food to the point where the information that we're getting about what to actually do to make us healthy becomes confusing.
But you know what I think is so compelling is that, so they're doing all these different tactics. You've got paid for scientists telling you things are not that bad, that they're actually healthy. And then, so you're manipulating people that way. Then you're manipulating people. If you're bringing in the NAACP, obviously race, that's a very emotional issue for everybody. So if you have people thinking like, oh my gosh, well, could it be, you know, bad for minorities if I'm against Coke or soft drinks or something? Like, that's another way to manipulate people into supporting you. It's like chess. They're always trying to be, you know, a certain amount of steps ahead of the American public. So they just can't get ahead above this brainwashing.
Yeah. And it is brainwashing. And so, like, how do you break free from the brainwashing, right? We're dealing with giant corporations paying some of the largest educational institutions that are so reputable. I mean, anything that comes out of Harvard, you're like, yes, okay,
schools are paid for. American Diabetes Association, all of these places funded by soft drink companies.
Yes.
The people that are allegedly fighting against the sickness that they're trying to solve, how can they accept money from these big beverage companies?
That's right. And they do. And this is what's wrong with society and why activists like myself exist. And the literally the only thing that you can do is to take back control of your food. Like, that's the only thing you can do. And you have to know the ingredients. You have to ask yourself those three simple questions every time you sit down to eat. What are the ingredients? Are these ingredients nutritious? And where do these ingredients come from? Literally, those three questions can unlock all the answers for you every single day, every single time you sit down to eat.
If the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, if they are taking money from Coke, Pepsi, is it fair to say that these organizations are interested in making money and not actually solving chronic disease?
Yes. I mean, there would be organizations I would never donate to. Yeah, absolutely.
Some countries have black labels on their processed food and soft drinks telling consumers that it's unsafe and poison, essentially. Do you think that America should start doing that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the more information about the truth about our food is more important. Like, for example, artificial food dyes are labeled in Europe. It says may cause adverse effects on activity and attention in children. And this is one of the reasons why I started the Kraft campaign, because here in America, Kraft was using artificial food dyes, but they decided to take it out for their citizens overseas. And Kraft wasn't the only company doing this. This was all General Mills, Kellogg's, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, you know, all of the big snack brands that are under some of these big conglomerates like Frito-Lay that you see in Nabisco. All of these companies have taken out these chemicals for citizens overseas and not for U.S. citizens.
Why aren't they willing to do it just everywhere? Why not just make it a uniform thing for across the world?
Because it costs too much money to change the product.
So we suffer.
Yeah.
They're Americans and they want Americans to suffer over people in other countries.
Yes, because it's cheaper for them to use artificial food dyes because it has a longer shelf life. Real food breaks down over time. And so shelf life is what makes processed food companies rich, right? You keep it on the shelf longer.
The preservatives.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you can keep it on the shelf everywhere and you can be in every 7-Eleven gas station around the, you know, around the U.S., That's going to make the money.
Well, what we did for tobacco companies was we made it a rule that if they were going to air a commercial favoring cigarettes and saying that it was great, that there had to be another commercial that was against tobacco, right? Wasn't that the law that we made in America? So why can't we do that for processed food? Like every single time a commercial for Oreo or McDonald's airs, the next one will be countering it. Like, is that a future that you think we could ever get to?
I don't know. I mean, I think they need to ban all ultra processed food advertising, especially to children. I think they need to ban all pharmaceutical ads like other countries. That could solve a lot of the issues in terms of how the media is co-opted by these advertisements. Because, I mean, media largely is going to tell us the information that they're allowed to tell us, not the truth all the time. And that's a problem.
Buying ad spots on their networks.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, one of the companies that really just drives me crazy right now, and it's an ongoing campaign, it's Kellogg's. So back in 2015, they made an announcement that they were going to remove artificial food dyes from their cereals. And they said, we'll do it by 2018. We'll give ourselves 3 years. 3 years seemed like a long time to me because they are already making their cereals without artificial food dyes in other countries, Fruit Loops, etc., Apple Jacks, all of that stuff. And I was like, okay, well, fine. It'll take you 3 years just to get rid of the other supply here in America. It'll be fine. Well, 2008 rolls around. They don't do it. Instead, they start new cereals that are more hip to people today, like Baby Shark, Minecraft, Elf on the Shelf, all of these new, hipper type of characters to get the kids of today hooked. And instead of making them the right way without artificial food dyes that affect, you know, little children's brains and their immune systems, they decide to continue to use artificial food dyes. So not only did they lie and say that they were going to remove this and not do it, they start making new cereals with it. They're one of the companies that I think are the most unethical and hypocritical, if you will, that was an American company that started here in America that knows how to make these cereals safer for children, but decides not to. And if anyone's listening to this, you should never buy Kellogg's cereal again for this reason alone. And you should call Kellogg's and tell them what's up and tell them that you're not going to buy them anymore until they remove artificial food dyes.
They always say that there is no evidence that GMOs are harmful. In 2012, you sat in the Democrat National Convention with a sign in the front row that said, label GMOs, which is like the most badass thing I've ever seen. Why does Big Food insist on suppressing the truth about GMOs, about glyphosate? And what do you have to say about their claims that there's no evidence that they cause any harm to humans?
Yeah, so, you know, the lobbying situation in Washington is like a revolving door between, well, the lawmakers themselves is like a revolving door to a lot of these chemical corporations. Like the head of the FDA used to work at Monsanto, et cetera. You know, not the one today, but the one that was. And, you know, when I decided to protest at the Democratic National Convention, Secretary Tom Vilsack was Secretary of Agriculture. And it was this moment of like, okay, we were in North Carolina. The Democratic National Convention was in North Carolina that year. So we had front row because we were like the home delegation. And, you know, everybody, all my fellow delegates are like, you know, this is so awesome. We're partying. We're doing the Democratic National Convention thing. And I'm sitting there like trying to move my way up to the front row to protest. And when I got up there with that sign, my delegation freaked. They're like, oh, shit, we have someone rogue on our team, right? You know, and it wasn't that I was rogue. I just wanted to use my position of influence for good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring awareness to this issue because at that point in time, when you went to the grocery store and you bought anything in a package, you had no idea if it was genetically engineered or not. You had no idea.
And why immediately, before, you know, GMOs were this trendy thing and everybody was trying to avoid it, how did you know immediately that this was dangerous to the American consumer before it was labeled?
Because I had done research on how these crops were created and produced. And it started with Michael Pollan's book, Omnivore's Dilemma, and then it moved on into very specific nutrition books and others, and then looking at the advocacy work of several different nonprofit organizations like the NRDC, the Center for Food Safety, Friends of the Earth, a lot of other organic CEOs that I met that had created their companies because of what had happened to the American food supply and wanted to avoid genetically engineered ingredients. And so I was learning all about what was actually happening. I went to India to study with Vandana Shiva.
She's so cool.
Yes. And go to her farm and learn about what's happening with the Indian farming there and how Monsanto is trying to take over all of Indian farming there. And it was just, I learned so much so quickly about what was going on in terms of these chemicals and then the high chemical use and what it means to human health. That's the part. It wasn't necessarily the genetically engineering technology that I was so much against. It was the coupling of that with chemicals.
Right.
Because they were creating seeds to withstand heavy doses of Roundup, which contain glyphosate, which is the main ingredient that's linked to cancer.
And over time, you write in your book, over time, these seeds will need more and more powerful chemicals, correct?
That's right.
Because they start to reject it.
That's right. They start to evolve. And so, you know, because it's nature. And so so farmers would have to buy more and more and more chemicals in order to produce the same level of crops.
So because of that, is it fair to say or speculate that when they did do the first round of tests to say these are not harmful to human beings, that maybe at that time the seeds, they weren't resistant to it yet. And now because of overtime, they've had to probably up the dosage of chemicals that they could be more? Or am I just like, I have no idea what I'm talking about?
No. I mean, that's basically it. But also a lot of the seeds that were created also were created to injected toxins into the seeds so that when an insect would eat it, their stomachs would explode. So okay, that's happening to an insect. What's happening to our gut and our microbiome? And now we know that glyphosate creates tiny little holes in our gut, leaky gut. And then that causes all sorts of inflammation and other autoimmune disorders and other things. So this is something that is really problematic. Okay. And so when I got up on stage, in the audience and was protesting in front of the Secretary of Agriculture, it was crazy. All of the cameras that were focusing on Tom Vilsack started focusing on me instead. And it catapulted kind of me into the media and into the food activist world of who is this chick in Charlotte, North Carolina doing this? I got to get to know her. And I became friends with all of these amazing activists around the world because of that. Mm. And that's how I got connected to Vandana Shiva and others. And so it was just this amazing opportunity for me finally to say, okay, this is cool. I'm going to go hang out with my people that really care about this issue so much that they're willing to put themselves on the line like this.
Is Appeal Big Foods way around the non-GMO label?
No, I think Appeal is a product that was invented to prevent food waste, to make more money for food manufacturers. I think it's a money play. I think that it's very controversial when you look at the data sheet. It's got a lot of additives that are derivatives of monodiglycerides and other things that we've talked about. And this is something that's being sprayed on the entire piece of fruit. And it allows, for example, a lemon to remain fresh for 60 days.
That's not normal.
And what is that doing to the insides of our bodies? And if you look at some of the safety data on that data sheet, it does talk about things that gastrointestinal issues and other things that happen as a result of consuming this. What kills me is the fact that they're doing this on organic food.
What I'm scared of.
Yes. And thankfully it's labeled. So you have to look for it. I got caught buying it the other day and oh my gosh, was I pissed off. Okay. I bought one of those bags of apples, you know, a bag of organic apples that are already in the bag.
Yep.
And I brought that bag home and I was like, this bag looks fun. I don't know. It's just like your intuition's calling you to look at the bag. Normally I wouldn't look at it. I would dump the bag into my fruit bowl and throw away the bag. But I looked at the bag and I was like, what? I bought this? I was just livid. So like, I want everyone to know that like, this stuff is tricky. Even someone who is this is their life to figure this stuff out. You have to be crazy vigilant. And you have to look at everything you're buying, especially that's in a package. So a lot of produce these days are in packages. So you need to read the fine print.
Did it surprise you that recently it seems like conservatives have become more vocal than the left about what's in our food? Like, well, because you started on the left. Now you say you're pretty apolitical because you've been jaded on everything, which I totally understand. And so, but now though, I feel like at least in my world, it is really, you know, I'm conservative, but it's me and other conservatives who are just like really talking about this.
Well, it really is interesting to me because I look at the recent conversation with Tucker Carlson and Callie Means,
yes,
right?
Yeah. I'm going to have Callie on soon.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. He's awesome. And, you know, I think about your podcast, which I would have never found your podcast had you not reached out, which was the best thing ever because then I like fell in love with you.
Thanks.
And your work for mothers is completely groundbreaking. And, you know, we could go into that subject at some point, but how I mother. But like, it's your ideologies in terms of like getting the information about how we've been so programmed to believe one set of principles of how we should live. And that's not really what's important. It's so amazing.
I wish I would have known to be washing my face with cold water sooner. I know it isn't just me who associates clean with scorching hot. Turns out it's one of the worst things we can do to our skin, washing our face with super hot water. Remove your makeup, then cleanse twice with cold water and Niemi Skincare's Gentle Hydrating Cleanser. I've been using Niemi Skincare for going on 3 years now, making it one of my longest serious relationships. One thing about me, if I don't like something, absolutely nothing will motivate me to keep using it. And I made up my mind long ago. Niemi Skincare is luxury modern skincare that gives results with timeless Christian and conservative values I believe in, making it one of the most unique brands in the beauty business. From the stunning packaging to prompt shipping and amazing results, you'll be blown away every step of the way. Try Niemi Skincare with 10% off on me, NiemiSkincare.com with code Alex Clark. N-I-M-I Skincare.com with code Alex Clark for 10% off. Find everything in the show notes below. It's never too late to invest in your skin. You know what's really funny to me? When I try to talk about this stuff, so meaning food, when I've tried to talk about the dangers of hormonal birth control, MSNBC, NBC News, The Washington Post, they always ask me for comment and they say, why are conservatives attacking hormonal birth control all of a sudden? Why are conservatives going after big food all of a sudden? And I keep saying to them, this is not fundamentally a conservative issue. It was the left who started talking about the dangers of hormonal birth control. It was feminists in the 70s who said, I don't like that women are being guinea pigs. What is in this stuff that you're giving us? We're so sick after 20 years of being on this pill. And then, you know, big food and everything. I mean, it was the crunchy, stereotypical, liberal, hippie moms. That's who was shopping at Whole Foods and stuff.
Right.
It was never conservatives. We made fun of those people. When people said, like, we need to, I remember the big thing with New York wanting to get rid of like supersize drinks and all that.
Yeah.
And I remember like growing up and
that was
hearing,
Chuck Schumer, yeah.
Yeah, hearing conservative news just like making fun of them, like, oh, how dare they want to take away our freedom and stuff. I mean, so it was totally the opposite in conservative culture when it came to these subjects. I feel like it was the pandemic that awoke a lot of us on the right to, oh, there's, because we already saw corruption. We were awake to corruption in media and all these other things, you know, with politics. And so I think it was a natural bridge to make the connection during the pandemic to big pharma and big food because of everything that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I had the reverse happen to me, right? I made the connection to big food. And because of what was happening during COVID, I saw how it was happening at the very beginning.
I love that for us.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I have the opposite. It's just funny because I was like, you know, this started going down the pipe and I go, oh no, oh no, oh no. Like, what's going on here? Right.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. Yeah. I, again, the issues that we're talking about today, the chemicals in our food, they're human issues. Both sides need to pay attention. Doesn't matter.
And yeah, it's bipartisan. Right. That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's really, it's just, these are, you know, the subjects that I feel like I gravitate towards talking to on this show, they're truly women's health issues and just human issues of like, what's going to make us so we're not relying on the government, who actually doesn't care about us,
yeah,
to be our
they
healthiest spiritually, mentally, physically, et cetera.
Yeah. They don't care about us.
How can regular people become food activists?
I have this amazing community that follows me, and I call them the Food Babe Army, because they not only care about what they buy at the grocery store and what they feed their family, but they care enough to call and petition and meet me at the headquarters of some of these corporations. And they are people that literally take the extra minute to make their voice heard. And when I think of politics, I said earlier, you know, I'm so jaded, right? Like, when you go and you vote, you don't know whether you're getting anything done. But when you make these food corporations know how upset you are at the ingredients in their food, they're going to have to listen. And the best way to make that change possible is to stop buying the product, but also to let them know why. And the more people that do that, the more changes that will occur. I'll give you a great example of something that happened that just blew my mind. Last year, Malk, a company that makes this awesome almond milk, like a couple ingredients, just
yeah,
really, really super clean.
Yeah, I know the brand.
So good. They decided to expand their footprint. In order to expand their footprint, they had to change their ingredients. And they started adding flavorings in, natural flavors, which is one of the ingredients that I tell everyone to avoid now, because that's what really hijacks your brain into remembering a flavor and eating more than you should.
And because that one label, it could hide like 100 other ingredients within it, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just one ingredient I don't want in my everyday almond milk when I'm having my cappuccino. And so it caught me off guard that they changed the ingredients, and I was so mad. So I just, on stories on my Instagram, I just like show the bottle and the ingredients. And I'm like, I can't believe they did this. This is awful. And I tagged them, and I was just like, and it didn't even occur to me that I should call them and like figure this out. Like, I was warning everyone, like, this caught me off. Like, look, I'm the food babe. You have to be vigilant, right? Like we said earlier, you have to see, you have to read ingredients occasionally, even if you buy the same product, because they change it on you. And it's actually one of the reasons why I started my company, Truvani, is because the turmeric supplement that I had been taking forever got bought out by a huge conglomerate and they changed the ingredients. And I was like, I got to start my own products, right? And that's why I started that company. But this is an example of that happening. And just my story apparently went viral. Like, people copied it, I guess, and posted it and told everyone about it. And the company got wind of it and got so much, you know, flack for it that they called me and they're like, Vani, we're sorry. We're not going to use it anymore.
Whoa.
We were wrong.
Epic.
They're like, we heard it loud and clear from our customer base. This is not something they want in their product. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, that's how a company should do it.
We
like,
did
talk
it.
About an awesome response, quick, to the point. They understood it right away. They understand their core customer, right? And
I mean, if you're drinking almond milk, then by and large, you care about health and things. You know what I
right.
mean? So that makes yeah. sense that they would be like quick.
Yes. They were so quick. And that's how you become a food activist. You share the information when you learn something new. You tell your friends about it. You lead by example in what you buy and what you purchase. You vote with your dollar. And you don't shut up about it, you know? And again, I'm not the most popular person at a dinner party, right? Unless it's like my organic friends, right? Because they're like, oh, shit. Bonnie's coming, okay? Like, she's going to see this. She's going to see that. Oh, you know, we're ordering, you know.
They already say that about me. I went to, like, a girlfriend's little, I don't know, she had us do, like, a sip and paint party or it was something like that recently. And she's like, as soon as I walked in the door, she's like, well, I'm sorry, Alex. I don't know if anything here you'll eat or whatever. I'm like, we're adults. Don't worry about me. If I want to, you know, eat or not eat, I will do it. But I don't want everybody, like, babysitting me. I always feel bad about that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I always find something to eat. And I always try to bring something along too. Like, yeah. I'll bring something that everybody will like and I'll like too. So, but it's that caring about this a little more just makes you a food activist, because that's all we need is more mini food activists everywhere kind of making this change. And you can be a food activist in your school or in your, you know, bridge club or, you know, whatever you're doing, right? At your soccer game. I mean, that's a big point of contention with a lot of moms.
Just volunteer. I'll be in charge of the snacks for the kids, something like that.
Absolutely.
What do you think is the biggest threat lurking around the corner with big food right now?
I don't know if there's a big threat with big food other than, I mean, I think the biggest threats that I see in terms of influencing young people is probably around energy drinks and how harmful they are. I think the biggest threat right now that we have kind of our society experiencing right now is like drugs that are like the GLP-1 Ozempic situation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've got it really hits a sore subject with me because my dad was given one of those new drugs last year to help control his diabetes. And at this point right now, he can't chew and eat normal food. Mm. Within a year, he literally has the side effects that they're warning everyone about, which is stomach paralysis.
Yep.
And
I think it's going to be one of the biggest health issues of our time, of our generation, for you and I. I think as this next generation ages and gets older, we are going to see catastrophic effects that we've never seen from these drugs.
Yes. And I'm already seeing it within my own family and what it can do. And there are kids as young as 6 years old on these drugs with no long-term safety data. No, but we do know short-term safety data, right? Which is very alarming and very scary. Mm. And it's another band-aid to the health issues of our time, and it's not solving the issue of what's actually happening to make someone obese. And we're not getting down to the root cause. And I believe I found the root cause for myself, which was the chemicals in my food. And when I removed the chemicals from my food, everything got better. And I know that's the case for everyone that I know who has done something similar. And unfortunately, it may not be as easy for some people to do that. But eating real food can be really easy too. You know, you just eat real food.
For the newly health conscious mom, you have so many best-selling books. Which book should she start with?
The mom, I would say Food Babe Family. And then Feeding You Lies is required reading for everyone.
Required reading. Top of my list. Feeding You Lies changed my life. And I would say that's the one, like, okay, if you are like, you've been consuming this content, you're kind of familiar, whatever, if you want the deep dive on like what she was doing, you know, a whole chapter on how the soda industry is similar to big tobacco and just all the corruption and all that kind of stuff, then for the seasoned health conscious person, you are going to love Feeding You Lies. And where can they buy all of your books?
Everywhere books are sold.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your Instagram and your website called?
Okay, so Instagram is The Food Babe, website's Food Babe, and I also own a company called Truvani. We make real food without added chemicals, products without toxins. We have labels that don't lie. We are the number one plant-based protein powder in natural food stores right now.
I just freaked out the other day when I saw you in Sprouts.
Thank you.
So I need the bars in Whole Foods next, because Whole Foods is the store that I'm at the most. So I'm like, please get your bars in Whole Foods.
So yeah, if you're listening to this and you want to reach out to your local Whole Foods and tell them to carry Truvadi bars, I will not be mad. We're trying to get in there.
Okay, good. And I'm going to put a link in the description, you know, directly to her brand new book, Food Babe Family, to her Instagram, to her website, and all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much for letting me come to Charlotte to interview you in person on The Spillover.
Oh my gosh, Alex, it is an absolute honor that you are here. I mean, only the best people come to Charlotte, so thank you. Thank you.
Sometimes I get asked what my thing is in the conservative movement. What is my passion point? The topic that I'm the most fired up about. And the truth is, it's taking down big food. But I don't think it's a cornerstone of the conservative movement. At least not yet. I'm working really hard to get more soldiers on board in this battle because to me, this hits every mark of being a conservative issue. I don't want the government to have one more avenue that they can control me through. Aren't you tired of seeing your loved ones chronically ill? Aren't you angry that another child you know has type 2 diabetes? They used to call that adult onset diabetes, by the way, but notice that they dropped that moniker because kids get it too now. There will be more powerful interviews on this subject in the coming weeks. Next week, I have a powerful and ghastly story about a woman who learned her home was killing her. After her hair completely fell out and she became allergic to everything, literally, that's not an exaggeration, she learned through extensive testing that it was her home that was making her sick. She then went on a journey with her husband to create a home building company where they build non-toxic homes from the ground up. Paint, roofs, cabinet hardware, furniture, everything. So whether you're looking to build a non-toxic home and gain some tips, or you just want the best advice to change your current home to be as non-toxic as possible, this is an extremely valuable episode dropping next Thursday at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, wherever you get your podcast, plus Real Alex Clark on YouTube. Definitely plan to watch that episode because I filmed it in one of their home builds, so you can see all the beautiful details. We put so much into this Vonnie interview. If you learned something new, please leave a 5-star review. Just say one thing that you've changed or learned since listening to The Spillover. If you're a top 1% fan, consider making a tax-deductible one-time or monthly donation specifically for The Spillover. We are produced by a nonprofit, so everything we do, flying in guests to record in person, set needs, equipment needs, all of that is funded by you. Details in the show notes below. I'm Alex Clark, and this is The Spillover. Love you, mean it. Bye.